Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And tonight we look at what it takes to drive peak performance in your career, in your life, in your organization. And we have some of the top female leaders in the region on the show this evening. Starting off, we have Yelena Yakoyevich Bindre. She is a fashion designer, form model, serial entrepreneur whose business initiatives include a nursery, a medical clinic, the famous Milk and Honey Cafe, and many more initiatives. I think she started her entrepreneurial flair back at the tender age of 15 years old. But, you know, success is about being tenacious and persistent. And here at Eye on Careers, we don't just bring you one success story. We bring you several. So we also have Zanubia Shams, the Chief Executive Officer of Zulika Hospitals. And Dr. Zulika Dowd came here in the 60s and was one of the only female doctors here in the region, and has created quite a wave of success that's carried on in the second generation by Zanubia, who now manages as the Chief Executive Officer of Zulika Hospitals, a healthcare group founded in 1993. And so we'll be looking at what it takes to be successful in the healthcare segment. And then complementing this stellar cast, we also have Asma Bajawa, the founder of People First HR Consultancy, a leading HR consultancy in the GCC. Asma is one of the top entrepreneurs in the region who has been leading her consultancy for almost a decade and has serviced some of the top brands in the region, such as Do and many more. I don't know if I should say all her clients live on radio, but I can guarantee you she's one of the top HR consultants here in the region. And she's going to be giving her insight into running your own business, as all three of these women will be talking about, but also about how to drive peak performance in your organization and in your career. So let's get started with our first guest. Let's hear a little bit more about her background. Her name again is Yelena Yakovlevich Bindre.
Fashion designer, model, entrepreneur, wife, and mother. You need many words to describe Yelena Bindre. Born in Serbia in 1979, Yelena was raised by teacher parents who instilled strong educational values within her and her brother. Despite a loving family upbringing, Yelena's childhood wasn't without its drama, with the air raid sirens of the 1990 Serbia-Bosnia-Croatia war a vivid memory, one which she credits as character building. She wondered if she would ever step outside the Serbian borders. Encouraged by her parents, Yelena channeled her energy into education, training in architecture, business, and later proudly earning her master's in economics and diplomacy. It was during her studies that she first got a taste for modeling, entering the industry professionally at the age of 19, and soon earning the coveted title of Miss Yugoslavia in 1998. Yelena's modeling career took her on a global tour, with a brief stint living in Italy before arriving on Dubai shores in October 2001 as one of the region's first fashion models. Through modeling, Yelena got her first taste for business. After all, this industry is a very competitive one. So after 15 years of modeling, Yelena became an entrepreneur. Yelena Bindre's businesses include salons Vanilla and Chocolate by Yelena, Milk and Honey Deli Supermarket, the Aldas Medical Clinic, and Asias Nursery, all situated on Palm Jumeirah, where she lives, and all developed for her own growing family's needs. On top of that, inspired by her art teacher mother, Yelena's passion for creativity took her down the design route. In 2012, she launched her own fashion label, Duchess by Yelena, and Yelena also owns IRS consultancy agency, a recruitment firm.
Yelena, not just another pretty face, but a hardcore businesswoman. Yelena, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Good evening, Shane. Thank you for having me here. It is really a pleasure of mine being here, and thank you for the opportunity, of course.
I'm surprised you had time to come, you know, between running 7,000 businesses that you run and managing a family. It's surprising that you have any time at all, even to sleep.
thanks God nobody can see me, you know, like tonight, only you. Am I looking like somebody who slept enough last night?
I think so. I mean, you're definitely not hard on the eyes, which your bio would suggest, being Miss Yugoslavia, and I think having a decade of a modeling career. Did you always have that entrepreneurial bug? I think, did you know as a young kid you're going to be an entrepreneur, or when did your vision start to materialize for yourself?
To be honest, everything started when I turned 15, and when I went in high school, when I was only one kid in a classroom who was from the village. Everybody else there was from really prominent families. And that made some kind of drive, you know, like in my heart, I wanted just to get opportunity to work, because it was really difficult time for myself and for my family, for my parents especially, because both of them was working in government companies. So for my mother, who was an art teacher, and for my father, who was working in government company, was really difficult, you know, like to support both of us, my brother Peja, who is living now here in Dubai with his family, and me also. So I was just always dreaming, you know, like that somebody will really give me opportunity to work. That was my dream. I didn't, you know, like think about all these businesses. I didn't had, all these companies on my mind. So I started for modeling, because that was only one way at that time, you know, like to work.
One of my favorite quotes from the CEO of Shoemart, actually, Manu Jaswani, who says, "The flavors of life are not in the tasting, but in the hunger." And when you start to describe the early piece of your career, you're really describing an environment that's starting to build a hunger within you for success.
Yeah, and I can tell you something, you know, I'm thinking about that every day, and I still have that drive. I still have that drive, even if I have six, you know, like companies under myself and 150, 160 people. I still have that drive. I have still that hunger. But I can tell you something, that is not hunger for money, that is hunger for achievement, for work, because I don't see my life having, you know, like same sense if I don't work. I don't see anybody's life will have really, you know, like sense if they don't work, if they're not doing something with their life. They don't need to have, you know, like this amount of companies. This is something, you know, like with my personality, and, you know, like I'm a little bit more hyper, but I really think that that work is making a man, is making a woman, you know, like strong.
And your early days were tough. I mean, you grew up, there was a war in Serbia, and I believe there was at one point all you had to eat was tomatoes.
It is true, you know, it's maybe, you know, like exaggerated that we ate only tomatoes, but there was tomatoes and potatoes.
So. Tomatoes and potatoes, yeah. So, okay.
So it was really tough time, you know, like we was under embargo, so we was not able to move out from the country. We was not able to travel, borders was closed, and my biggest dream was to go in some other country. I was dreaming, you know, like to go somewhere else, because I didn't saw future at that time in the Serbia. Now I can see the situation is getting better, but I'm living abroad from when I was 19, 20, so that's now 15 years, and to be honest, I really miss Serbia, and so many people left, and especially in that time, you know, like after war that we had, after, you know, like difficult time, after all this depression and very, very tough route, very tough way that everybody had, you know, like growing up under planes, you know, like which was throwing the bombs.
But you were subjected to bombings.
Yeah, I lived there, you know, like when we had NATO bombing us, so it was really, really difficult time, and that just made this drive for success even more strong, in my blood, you know, like I just wanted, you know, like to go and to do something with my life. I didn't want to sit there, but thanks God, situation is getting better.
And were you scared for your life during that period?
Yeah, I was more scared, you know, like for my parents. I was not so scared for myself, but, you know, like, I cannot even express, you know, like this is something really what would stay in your memory and in your, you know, like in your head forever. Even now, you know, like when, for example, when we are traveling, when we are in London, and when, you know, like you hear siren like all around, you know, like from the police or from ambulance. That's more often you can hear than, you know, like on the streets than here in Dubai. You know, every time, you know, like I jump from the bed if I hear something like that, because, you know, like I'm thinking, oh my God, again, you know, like something is happening.
Right. So you, during this period, you know, how old were you? You were 8 or 9 years old?
Yeah, I was 9 years old.
And so you'd wake up that day thinking that today you may have to watch your father or mother die.
Yeah, it was, no, when this was happening, when we had the bombing in Serbia, that was when I was 18 years old. That was the year when I was Miss Yugoslavia. But the difficult time when people didn't have money, they didn't have a job, we was not able to travel, that was when I was 9 years old. This was crisis in Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia, when we had the war in ex-Yugoslavia, old Yugoslavia, but the NATO bombing was in 1998, so that was the year when I was Miss Yugoslavia, when I was 18 years old.
This is a story of Jelena Jakovljevic Bindraj, a fashion designer, former model, and serial entrepreneur whose businesses include nurseries, medical clinics, the cafe Milk and Honey, as well as salons. She has her fingers in quite a few things and is also a proud mother. She's going to give her insights on to lessons learned on the road to the top in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We're talking to Jelena Jakovljevic Bindraj, a fashion designer, former model, serial entrepreneur whose business initiatives include a nursery, medical clinic, the Milk and Honey Cafe on Palm Jumeirah, and hair salons. She has her fingers into everything, but it wasn't always like that. It was humble beginnings for this entrepreneur growing up in a war zone and often surviving bombings and scarred by the memories of war. This is her story. And Jelena, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shay.
So you were literally stuck in Serbia and there was bombings happening. Tell us, how did you get out of Serbia?
My mother was telling me all the time, and my father, if you don't go in school, if you don't go to university, you will never be able to succeed. You have to finish university. You have to finish university. So I started architecture, and I stopped on second year, when I was announced Miss Yugoslavia. So I didn't saw really opportunity, you know, like for myself staying in Serbia to work like an architect, because my mother that year was working for 7 Deutschmarks, and that was, let's say, 3.5 euros today, 15 dirhams, 17 dirhams.
Crazy. But you get
whole month.
You get a food ration, or you like your electricity and all those bills are paid, you know, right? It's communist.
No. I lived, and still, you know, like my parents, they're living in a small town in Serbia called Žabalj. It's just 25 kilometers from capital of Vojvodina of it's called the Novi Sad town. Just 25 kilometers, we are far from there, and we are like all life we was living, you know, like self-sustainable lifestyle. So we had, you know, like animals in the garden, we had potatoes and tomatoes, salad, everything, you know, like eggs. So life in communistic system is somehow, you know, you don't have money, but you have your house, because this is priority in life for all families to provide a roof on top of the head for their children, and of course education, but they don't have live cash. And this situation, you know, happened to my parents because they didn't had money, they didn't have cash, but we had, you know, like, and we have still, you know, a beautiful house and garden and everything, you know, like what we need for somehow, you know, like survival. And I just told my parents, listen, you cannot pay two tickets, bus tickets from Zabel to Novi Sad, for me and for my brother. And I decided to go to work because I'm older and I have opportunity to do to work like a model because I'm crowned Miss Yugoslavia. And I was thinking doors for me will be open everywhere in the world, wherever I go. So there was devastated. You know, my father, he's mechanical engineer and he's also a teacher of technical sciences, and my mother is an art teacher and also teacher for technical sciences. So for somebody who have two colleges, universities, you know, like it's very, very difficult and degrading, you know, like for their child to don't finish university. But I decided, you know, like to take chance, and I told them, no, I'm leaving and I'm going to Italy. So I went to Italian embassy because by chance on a contest for Miss Yugoslavia, I met Italian ambassador. And first I called Italian embassy and I told them, hi, Yelena Yakovlev is speaking. Please, can you give me Italian ambassador? And they told me like, who? And I'm like, Yelena Yakovlev, I was a kid, you know, like I was just 19 years old. I told them, I want to speak with ambassador. I miss Yugoslavia. How you don't understand? I was thinking that will open all doors. But this lady, she promised to me, lady who answered on the phone, she promised to me that she will send him, you know, like, give him message. And then...
So you know, he gets a message that Miss Yugoslavia is trying to get in touch with him.
Yeah,
so it catches his attention, I'm sure.
It was amazing because that really opened the door. You know, okay. And then I learned... You know, if you don't ask, if you don't knock the door will not open. And he called me back, believe or not, and he told me, can I help you? I told him, yeah, we met each other on the contest. You know, like after the contest, he was there like a jury. So please, can you help me? I want to leave Serbia. I want to go to do modeling in Italy. I want to try. And he told me, you know what? I think you will succeed. Because you really, you know, like, you know how to do it. So I will give you visa only for 3 months. I will sign personally for that. But if you don't do anything with your life, I will remember you and I will pull your ears. I was like, okay, fine. So this is how it happened. I sit on a minibus. I travel 13, 14 hours with some smugglers, whatever they was doing, you know, like... there was traveling up to the border, and then, you know, like, I was only one who had permission to leave the country at that point. And I found another minibus, which I paid, you know, like, and I went with 800 Deutschmarks in my pocket for 100 euros. I went in Milan, and I said to myself, I'm not going back, you know, like, it's like, I have to make it. And this is beginning.
So quite an adventure as you get out of Serbia, and then you're in Milan. How do you get your first gig? Did you call the agencies up and say, this is Miss Yugoslavia?
Now, before I left, I asked a friend of mine who was like at that time maybe 30 something, and she worked with one agency in Milan, if she can contact that agency and tell them, I am coming. I miss Yugoslavia. I'm coming there, you know, like I have to be model. So she called them and she told them there is a young girl, you know, like she wants to try modeling. And it was not easy at all because I was in epicenter, you know, like of modeling. There was like thousands of beautiful girls and nobody care are you miss of some country or not. You know, like it's important that you have that X factor. And...
Were you intimidated and potentially a bit scared? You know, all of a sudden you're in the city you've never been to and it's crawling with beautiful models.
I was scared, to be honest, in beginning, but I just had one thing on my mind. I'm not going back there. I'm not going back in Serbia. My parents was calling me every day. They was borrowing money, you know, to call me, to pay the phone. They was calling me and the checking, you know, like, okay, did you eat? Did you wash your clothes? Where are you washing your clothes? What are you doing? How you are doing? And I was just repeating to them, I'm fine. I'm not coming back. And there was just repeating, as I was repeating, I'm not coming back. There was repeating, but you have to remember that you have, you know, a place where to come back. If something is going wrong, you come back home. And I was like, okay, fine, don't worry, everything will be okay. And then I start working. I was not one of the most successful models in Milan, I have to, you know, like admit. And I had an assignment here in Dubai, direct booking. And my parents they went totally crazy because for them, Dubai was like the end of the world. And
What year was this?
And that was 13 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Dubai just started developing. So there was screaming over the phone telling me I have to come back home. Where are you going? Are you crazy? Milan is already more than enough. You have to come back to finish your university. And I promised them I will finish university, but now it's not the right time. So I came here in Dubai for first time before 13 years to do two photo shoots. And I decided never to go back to Milan because I just saw fantastic opportunity to be, you know, like first here international model. And I looked at that from business perspective. I saw, you know, like opportunity when you're first in something, then there is no way that you will fail. And I told myself, you will be first in a village, but better than to be, you know, like last in town. So Dubai at that point of time, it was really, you know, like very small. And if we're talking about modeling, it was really like a village comparing to Milan.
So you basically have a bit of serendipity at play. You see an opportunity and you take first mover advantage and then you start making good money as a model.
Yeah, I did hear campaigns for everything, like literally. I did for Carrefour, I did for Al Ghurair Mall, for Mall of the Emirates, for City Center, for Nokia, for Motorola, for everything.
And then what happens next? So you're making cash. You're able to provide for yourself at this point. You're making a good income. What's the next step? How do you all of a sudden become this entrepreneur?
First came university because when I was financially stable and you know, like myself and my parents from this money that I was making from modeling, I just looked at that. I loved modeling really because somehow, you know, like I am artist, and you know, like for me that was modeling is art. Same like acting, because you need to express yourself, and you know, like through movements and through, you know, like all these photo shoots, you know, like in the TV commercial and everything what you're doing is acting. So I really enjoyed in that, but it was stepping stone for my future, because I look at that, you know, okay, I will build my personality through this, and I will learn how to fight for my space under the sun, and after that, you know, like I will just ask people for opportunity to give me work. I never was scared to work. That was the thing. So I decided to go back to university. So I was going every 2 months to Serbia, and I told myself, if I continue, you know, like prolonging this for 1 year, 2 year, 5 years more, I will never finish it. So I just transfer my exams that I did on architecture. I transfer certain exams which was able to be transferred to management. So I graduated in management, in sport management. And the same day when I received my university diploma certificate, I went on another door of that university, and I told them I want to apply for master's. And they told me, but today, you know, like you received your diploma, so like why today? I'm like, if I go back to Dubai and if I, you know, like wait another 1 month or 2 months to come back, you know, like that will never, you know, like happen again. So today is opportunity. So let me grab it. And that's.
This is the story of Yelena Yakovlevich Bindrai, the fashion designer, former model, and serial entrepreneur, telling her story, how she escaped war-torn Serbia to become an international model and a successful entrepreneur.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And the best of part about this show is it's interactive. So if you had a question or anything about your career, you could SMS us at 4001 or use our mobile app to interact directly with us, which you can download from our website, which is dubaieye1038.com. And if you missed any of the show and you wanted to catch up on it, you can visit us at dubaieye1038.com/eyeoncareers, and you can click on the podcast section. We are listening to the story of Yelena Yakovlevich Bindrai. She's an entrepreneur. She's a former model. She has too many businesses to count. She's still early career, believe it or not. Yelena, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much.
It's an amazing story. I mean, we're just on the break. We're talking about how your life is like a movie almost. So you grow up in this very challenging environment, financial crisis. Your parents are literally making €3 a month. Challenging times. At times, all you had were potatoes or tomatoes to eat. And then you go into a crisis where there's actual war and bombings, and you're fearful for your life and the life of your parents. And then you're smuggled out of the country in a van to make it to Milan to start a career as a model, which you do end up hitting stride with, and then get a gig in Dubai and just don't come back from that and continue to be, you know, one of the only international models in the GCC at that time. So what was your first entrepreneurial venture, and how did you kick it off?
During modeling time, I was thinking which business part. So with certain connections which I made here in Dubai, I decided to start recruiting people from Serbia and giving them opportunities to come and to work here, because at that time in Dubai you had so much opportunity if you wanted to work.
And so you were smuggling more people out of Serbia. Yeah. Is that it? You're like, man, these people smugglers are making a lot of money. I'm like, I'm going to get in on this action.
You know what? Now when I leave your studio, probably they will arrest me.
So you started a recruitment firm. Was that good? Was that a good business? Or
yeah, that was great business because, I started that from scratch and just following, you know, like research that I did, you know, like on internet, how to do it. And it was very simple because I think I used my communication skills mostly, because on university I learned certain things, but then, you know, like when you are doing that practically, you know, like when you're doing that in real life, when you're doing that when you are, you know, like having chance to learn that on a daily basis, is much more educational. So I was like, okay, I started this recruitment services, and I had a few pretty prominent companies from Dubai and hotels. And then at a certain point, I stopped doing it because I was very busy with opening cosmetic salon, and cosmetic salon supposed to be
hold
my...
Hold on a second. You just can't smooth over that. Like, yeah, so, you know, the recruitment business, it was tough because I was distracted by starting a salon. So how do you go from running a recruitment business?
I will tell you why I stopped the recruitment business for a while. for some time.
Be honest. That's good.
I'm very honest tonight. You can see.
No, I'm just joking. I'm here. So what happened?
Details from my life.
Yes, yes.
So if my parents are listening, you know, like probably they will be, oh my God, what she's talking about. But
they could, because you can just go, if you go to the website, you can click on listen now, whatever's playing now, anywhere in the world, and you can hear the show. So we have people listening from Australia, France, UK, US.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, so absolutely.
I'm becoming famous smuggler. <Yeah. laughs>
You'll get a lot of calls, you know, from people in these countries.
But. So, what were you talking about? Sorry.
You were talking about what was the real reason why you quit the recruitment business?
Yeah, I didn't quit it totally because I activated that later, but it was really tough. Competition in Serbia at that moment was so nasty that, you know, like I decided, you know, like all these games that they were trying to set us up, you know, like I told myself, no way, I will do something, you know, like what is more for girls, some girly job. So I was planning also.
What, the recruitment wasn't girly enough?
Not
really.
Is
that what you're saying?
Working, you know, like
it's mostly women who work in HR and recruitment. I don't know if you know that. It's like dominated by women.
In HR, but you know, like when you have to fight with competition, which is on the market, like for example in Belgrade for like 15, 20 years, and through that tough time which they had there in Serbia, there was using any possible weapon, you know, like to survive there. And then when you come like a girl, like 20-something years old, who was only model, you know, like without really, really experience in that business, it was really tough. So I told myself, you know, like I don't want to go through this drama anymore. When I'm ready, I will activate this this again. But at that time, I was not really, you know, like ready to continue with that. So I decided to go for something a little bit more girly, and that was Vanilla Salon. This is how Vanilla was born.
And how much money did you spend to start Vanilla Salon? So, and for any of our listeners out there, if you have a question about starting a business, you're talking to a guru here. Yelena has started so many. How many have you started? Six businesses?
Yes.
Six businesses. So if you have a question, you can SMS her at 4001. So how much money did you use to start this?
First, Vanilla, I spent a lot of money because I made many mistakes. And
how much?
Why are you asking me that?
Because people want to know. People are like, you know,
no, I don't know exactly.
Can I start a business with 100,000 dirhams, or do I need, you know, 3 million dirhams to start a business?
No, salon. You don't need 3 million dirhams to start a salon, but you need to know what are you doing, because salons are very tricky business. Because if you don't have experience, managerial experience, and if you didn't work in a salon before, you can sleep very easy. And that's happened to me almost, you know, like almost happened that I totally slept with first Vanilla, because I was so hungry for work, you know, like, and to do something, you know, like, and to invest my money, which I made for modeling, that I was thinking that running salon is so easy.
How much money do you need? Maybe not.
You need approximately, let's say, depend
on
the location.
To someone out there?
In Dubai, everything just depend on the location. If you want to open, for example, let's say, on Sheikh Zayed Road, in some average building.
You know, right now there's someone listening.
To be honest,
out there,
you know,
who's about to start a hair salon.
Okay,
there is
everything depends on the location. If you do you want to open on a Palm Jumeirah, or you want to open in Karama? So, like, do you want to open? Where do you want to open? You want to open?
I was thinking of like a floating salon, and like you get on, and then you know it's on the water, you know, and you and then you get your hair done, and then you get and then it's like a boat, and the boat moves. And
so what
like
you will do with humidity?
It's like the wave.
What you will do with humidity when you do your hair beautifully and you know like all humidity from there is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's technology that. But no, so I'm not going to start a salon, to be honest. I do barbershop, No, but seriously, how? So let's just say Sheikh Zayed.
Okay, I have a barber shop. So do you need any help? I can help you. No problem.
Okay, no, let's say Sheikh Zayed Road. How much money would I need to drop into this?
Again, everything depends, you know, like of the building where you want to. You need to do study. You need to do demographics. You need to, you know, like think about. Let's say you need, for example, from.
Say I have 500,000 dirhams. Is it enough to start, or you say it's not?
You don't need 500,000. You need approximately like 350.
350,000, yeah. And you're off and running.
Yeah.
And then how long would you be before you start making a profit?
Again, that depends of your experience. You know, it's from case to case. If you are, you know, like somebody who was working as a manager in the salon, you have a lot of experience, you know marketing, you know PR, you know how to recruit, where to recruit, if you know which products to use, if you know, like how to find better prices on the market, of course, you will save money. But if you are trying to be clever, like I was trying to be clever in the beginning, then you will, you know, like end up paying much more.
What do you mean by trying to be clever? What was that?
I tried to be clever. I was thinking that I know everything. But, you know, like, to be honest, I love that first vanilla because I learned so much from that first business. So after that, every next business was going so smooth because I learned my lesson, business lesson, you know, like properly from that one.
And what was the business lesson you learned?
I learned how important is marketing and which kind of marketing to use, you know, like for running salon. I learned how to deal with the staff. I learned how to do customer service. I learned finances. I learned so many aspects of business. So now, you know, like it's very easy for me to set up a business and to make it run and to be successful.
This is the story of Yelena Yakovlevich Bindrai, the fashion designer, former model, and serial entrepreneur, sharing her insights on the road to the top.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Yelena Yakovlevich Bindrai, a lady who grew up in Serbia and faced tough times. She only had potatoes and tomatoes to eat at some point. It was financially that tough. Her parents were making 3 euros a month. If that wasn't enough, the country became war-torn and with bombings and really risking life and limb. She was smuggled out of the country, literally, in a van under the auspices of the Italian ambassador who shipped her to Milan to become an international model. And serendipity at play, someone from Dubai hired her on a gig. She got on a plane and didn't come back. She stayed in Dubai now and has graduated from modeling into entrepreneurship and runs 6 companies. She is truly amazing. Yelena, welcome to Eye on Careers. Welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
So we had just gone through, and for anyone joining us right now, you can SMS us a question at 4001 or use our mobile app, which you can download from the website. And if you missed this, you can also go and get it from the podcast on dubaieye1038.com/Eye on Careers. So, Yelena, we went through the recruitment business that you started. You started some salons. I think your most recent business now is a health clinic, a medical clinic.
Yes, Aldas Medical Clinic. We opened before 2 years, and I'm very proud of that project.
It's amazing. Most people struggle to start one business, and you are just like popping these things up like mushrooms, going into technical stuff like the medical area. It can't be that easy. I mean, why are you able to do these things and other people struggle just to run a single business?
I think there is a lot of, I learned through my life how to improvise. So you cannot really improvise on running a clinic, but you know, like situations in which business bring you on a daily basis sometimes, if you don't know how to swim, you know, like you will drown very, very easy and very fast. So I think that all these previous jobs that I was doing, like modeling and, you know, like recruitment and running first vanilla, made me, you know, like learn how to do it. So I think also one of the most important things is research and to be well organized. I think this is the secret.
Research and well organized, and of course the hunger. I think one thing that you get when you grow up or have a tough beginning like you did is what I call an attitude of gratitude. That, you know, if you have to go in on a Saturday, you're actually grateful that you have work to do on a Saturday versus someone else who may be hawing and humming and just towing the line.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you do work on the weekends because you didn't even flinch at that. You're like, yes,
I stopped doing that recently because otherwise, you know, like I will never stop working. I was working on weekends and I was working sometimes 17, 18 hours per day. But I have now a really good team. I have fantastic managers. I have support. So I think that now, you know, like I can a little bit more relax because everything is in tune. So I don't need to worry so much and bring work home. And I will never do that again, bringing work home, definitely.
And so you have 160 people under you. What do you look for when you're hiring these great managers? What are the traits that you look for when you're hiring?
You know, sometimes I'm scared to tell that out of all these 150-something people that I have under me, I have only 3 men working for me. So
you're sexist?
No. But I think, you know, like with small businesses.
That. It's just that 160 people, you have three men. If it was a reverse, if it was a man who said, you know, I have 160 people working for me and I only have 3 women, you'd call him a sexist. You would.
By
admit it. You would call him a sexist. Just admit it.
No. This is. I will tell you how it happened. It happened because I think in you know, like running small businesses, you need to have somebody, you know, like with emotion for them. It's not a big system, you know, like where you can have power men, you know, like to run the company. I have a woman because they know how to transfer their emotion, and they're working in these companies. All my female managers, they're and you know, like even ladies that are on junior positions, they are working like it's their company, and this is what I'm looking for, and this is what I need when I'm with my kids. If I tell today, you know, like I will not come to work because I need to go, you know, like in school or I need to travel or something, I know that these ladies are looking after my company like it's their own, and this is what I was looking all the time, because I was working, you know, like always with clients when I was model, and I was giving 100%. So I think that with the small businesses, especially this kind of businesses where we're providing services for our customers and lifestyle, and you know, like you need somebody to work 100% like it's their company.
So, and how do you test for that in an interview? Like, how do you know this person would do that? I mean, what do you look for?
You know, we have now HR department, and of course, you know, like when we're recruiting, we are doing from Serbia or from Romania or from Bulgaria or from whichever country we are working. Now we are really well connected with all of them because I was in recruitment before. For example, when I'm recruiting, you know, like I come on the first interview, but after that, if I'm recruiting for clinic, for Aldas Medical Clinic, expertise part, I'm leaving to our medical director because that is not my expertise. I'm there to sell business, you know, like and run that business from the business perspective, but I don't interfere in something that is not my expertise.
What is your advice to anyone out there who wants to, you know, get that edge, move their career forward, become a bit more successful?
Like I told you, there is just a lot of research and a lot of hard work. There is no shortcuts. No shortcuts at all if you're not smuggler.
If you're not what?
Smuggler.
Or if you're not a smuggler.
I'm joking, but you know,
No, but I think even for smug, you know, the funny thing is, in my opinion, if you're doing a legal business or you're doing an illegal business, you're still working just as hard. It's not like, you know, when you see some of these criminals getting busted and you look at some of their elaborate plans, and it's like, man, if you would have just worked this hard in a regular job, you would have made the same amount of money. I mean, I don't see the difference.
Yeah, they put so much passion in that.
Yeah, you know, you have to work hard irrespective.
Yeah, it's just a lot of hard work because, you know, and if you're not there every day, that company cannot run. This is what I know from experience. Because of that, I'm sitting there every day from 8 to 1. I'm really grateful because I was lucky to have this fantastic opportunity to be, you know, like on the palm and, you know, like to open all these companies on the palm and, you know, like to have great support of managers and staff that is working for me because the like results are there. So this time, you know, like when I'm on your program, I would like to thank all my team for really, really great and hard work.
So that's the bottom line is just work hard. But you also were a bit fearless. You weren't scared to go into new markets, new frontiers, to go into the unknown.
No, I'm not really scared. You know, I'm not scared to work. Just give me work and I will do it. I will execute it. I'm not scared to work. I love to work. That's my drive.
So what's next for you now? I mean, what's the next business? Or you can't say.
I just would like to keep everything, you know, like fine tuned. Because next week we are coming out with Duchess by Elena, my line. We had haute couture until now, and we are coming out with ready to wear, and we are going with the sales online. So I think this is the latest venture.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Yelena, for coming out. It was a truly interesting journey that you took us from financial crisis through war, through recruitment, hair salons, medical clinics, nurseries. We just can't fit all in an hour, so hopefully we can have you back on the show sometime soon.
Thank you very much for such a fantastic opportunity.